I say about him. I'd like you to go with me in the book of 2 Samuel this evening. Chapter number 9. I'm going to be in a very familiar text. And sometimes because it's familiar, because so many preachers probably have preached out of it, sometimes we shy away from preaching certain texts because of the familiarity of it. But I feel like the Lord has given me some thoughts out of here that I need to preach tonight. And I'm just excited about being here. I'm nervous. I tell you, I've been doing this 11 years now, running around the road, and I still get nervous. I'm nervous. I'm being honest with you. I want to do right. That's why. I said to the Lord tonight, I said, Lord, I want to preach what we need tonight. I want to preach what I need, what they need, and what all of us need. So I really have a burden to preach this. So I want you to stand with me while I read my text this evening. I'm gonna read this chapter. We're gonna look at it together tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing this week. And I just want to get in the stream. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually."
Yes, amen.
And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." He got adopted. I wrote down here in my Bible that adoption is the voluntary act of the adopter. The adopted becomes the recipient of compassion and care. I'm a recipient. Hallelujah. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. I want to preach tonight on a chariot of mercy. I want to deal with the chariot that came by Mephibosheth's house. Sent from the king's palace. Father, help us tonight, Lord. We are looking to Thee. God, You've been so good to us today. And Father, You've met with us. Your presence has been real. Sinners have known it. Lord, they've responded. God, we know that You're wanting to do more. You're not done. You're a great God. And I come to Thee tonight, Father, and I ask You to help me as I preach to these people. God, I want to be pleasing to Thee. I want to preach what would please Thee tonight. Lord, I can't get this message out of my heart. You've burned it down in my soul, and I want to thank You for, Lord, giving me direction tonight out of all the other texts and all the other scripture verses. You've put this upon me, and I want to thank You for it. Father, we need You now. We need You more than we've ever needed You before. Yes. Lord, I pray that now You might help me and guide me. And God, I'll follow You, Lord. I'll do what You ask me tonight. And I pray that, God, we'd be obedient people who hear the message. And Lord, I pray that, God, You'd just open up the windows of heaven and pour us out that blessing that there won't be room to receive it. Yes. We'll thank You now. We'll praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name for what You do. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, the reason that I feel as though I need to title this message, A Chariot of Mercy, because I got to studying about chariots in the Bible, and a chariot is defined as a vehicle with a rider. And I realize that that's not anything real deep. But what I mean about this chariot is this chariot has been funded by the king. This chariot has been equipped for the king's business. This is not just any kind of chariot. This is a special chariot that comes by to get Mephibosheth. It's got special insignias on it. It's got a special horse. It's one of the king's horses. Yes. This chariot has been given to a man to do a job for the king. Right. And when I got to studying this thing about chariots in Psalm chapter 68 and verse 17, it says the chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now, he's talking about the chariots of God. He said that the Lord is among them. Not just any chariot will do, but the one that's sent by the king. The one that has been financed by the king. The one that has been given by the king to do a special task. And it says the Lord is among his chariots. The Lord's among them, I believe, because of the people that ride them. Because the Lord's in them and the Lord's with them. He's promised to go with those who'll do His work. And I'm glad that He gave me that promise, that He'd go with me. Now, when it says the chariots of God are 20,000, I looked up this word 20,000, and it means a myriad. It means a large number. As a matter of fact, it means an indefinitely large number. It means numberless. The number 10,000 in the Bible is a number that's used often through the Scriptures. In the book of Jude, when Enoch prophesied of the Lord's return, it says He's coming with 10,000s of His saints. And over and over and over again in the Old Testament, the number 10,000 is used, and in the New Testament, when we stand before the throne, it's tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. And the number 10,000 in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language means numberless. That's why in our song that we sing, Amazing Grace, in the last verse, the songwriter wrote it, when we've been there 10,000 years. When we've been there years that are numberless. That was a numberless number. So when I look at the 20,000 chariots, God is saying He's got plenty of chariots and plenty of work to be done. Plenty of work to be done. It's time to work for God. That's what it's all about. Time to work for the King. Now, as I began studying this thing, I might have a little bit different slant on Ziba. And I believe I heard Brother Shipman preaching, hey, you can do things with types, what you want to do with them, as long as they fit the Scripture. Right. And the first time I ever heard Brother Shipman preach this message, I was just a teenage boy. And I don't remember all about it, but I remember you talking about Ziba being the type of the Holy Ghost. Well, I've kind of changed it a little bit. That's all right, because it's a type. I want to use Ziba as me or one of God's men. One of the reasons that I want to use Ziba is because when I study Ziba's life, I find out that when he got Mephibosheth to the king's palace, his job wasn't over.
Right.
You see, he had to go out in the field and he had to till the field.
Right.
And he had to take care of the land of Mephibosheth that had been given to him.
Right.
And when those souls get saved, our job's not done.
Right.
It's just got started.
Yeah.
We have to feed them. We have to help them. And we have to take care of them. And we watch them enjoy the king's table. I think if there's anything I enjoy more, it's seeing people that get saved and have heard the message of God. And you come by and you give them something and you feed them and they say, hallelujah, that's good. They sit at the king's table and while you're working and while you're laboring in the word and in the field, God gives you those things that they'll need. And then you bring them in and you say, here, look at this. Look what we've done for you. We've toiled and we've labored to feed your soul. Zion's work was not done. I think there's anything I love, Brother Mike, it's to give people a big spoonful of God's grace, slap it off the table and stick it in their mouth and watch them. Amen. I like to see them sit out there. Oh, this is good. Oh, I feel so full. Oh, it's so wonderful. You see, Ziba's business wasn't done just because he went and got Mephibosheth.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like feeding. I like feeding God's sheep.
That's right.
I'm glad one day God said to Peter, he said, Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Then he said, feed my lambs. And then he said, feed my sheep. What he's saying is, it ain't done. After you feed them once, you got to feed them again. I like getting out there and plowing in the field. Say, whose field is this? Oh, it's Mephibosheth's. Why are you working in it? Because he's at the king's table. Amen. Why are you out there hollering like that? Why are you sweating like that and toiling like that? Because I love the one who's at the king's house. You see, there was a day when God sent me by his place. And he got in the chariot. And I saw him get before the king. And I saw him taken in by the king. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah to God. And I'm saying, my friend, this is a wonderful story. This is a precious, precious truth that's before us. Now, if you look at David, you'll find out that David did not do this on his own. David did it because he loved Jonathan. But if you look in verse number 3, you'll see the spiritual application that's here. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? The kindness of God. Sinner, God ain't sitting on a throne with a rod of iron beating up on sinners.
Right.
Calvary proves different than that. I know God's angry with the wicked every day. I know all about that. But there ain't a wicked man that's gotten under Holy Ghost conviction and been sorry about his wickedness who's come before God that he's stiff-armed, that he's kept out. Friend, I'm saying to you, God enjoys being a merciful God. He enjoys being a gracious God. He loves watching people get in the fold. Amen. And David said, I want to show him the kindness of God. I'm convinced that anybody that has experienced the kindness of God shows the kindness of God.
Right.
I worry about you if you ain't concerned about Mephibosheth.
Right.
I'm concerned about you if you don't understand how kind God's been to you that you might show that kindness to somebody else.
Right.
Blessed are the merciful. Every wicked politician knows that verse. But they forgot all the ones that are in front of it. Blessed are the peacemakers and all that. Listen, friend, merciful people are those who've had mercy shown to them. Merciful people are those who understand the kindness of God. And they say, I want somebody else to have this kindness. David sent him out. David sent out Mephibosheth. Sent out Ziba to get Mephibosheth. But I want to deal just for a little while. I guess you could say this introduces my chariot. You already thought I had my introduction given to you, didn't you? Well, actually, my first, second, third point's my introduction. Then my fourth point's my message. So I got to give you them first 3 points in order to understand what it is about this chariot that I want us to see. But first off, I want you to know that Mephibosheth was barred from David, who was the king, because of his family.
That's right.
You see, Saul was an enemy of David. If you study the Bible, you'll find out in 1 Samuel 18, verses 5 through 9, that Saul envied David because David had a good spirit about him. And he envied him. He was jealous of him. David was showing him up. And so Saul became an enemy of David because he was envious of David. And Saul threw a javelin at David one day and wanted to kill David. He tried to kill David. But it wasn't time for David to die. Because David had things to do. God had anointed him to be king. But Saul hated David. He despised David. Listen, as a result of it, David was an enemy of the household of Saul. Now that doesn't mean that David hated Saul. It means Saul hated David. Mephibosheth couldn't do nothing about who he was born to. There wasn't nothing he could do about that. He was born an enemy of the household of David. And everybody that's been born in the flesh is an enemy of God. You have not always been a Christian. You have not always been saved. You've not always been good. There's none good. There's none righteous. There's none that seeks after. Listen, you don't seek God until God starts looking for you because you ain't got enough good in you to want God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've been raised in the finest home in America, Christian home in America. Amen. Now I'm going to give you some truth for a while because I'm getting to something exciting. Don't die on me while I'm in the truth. Or I'll come sit on your lap. Amen. There was a time when I was an enemy of God. By wicked works, wicked deeds, wicked thoughts. But God took that enmity at Calvary and nailed it there so that I don't have to be an enemy of God. I don't have to be an enemy of God. Friend, an enemy has weapons. And as long as you have the weapons of warfare against God in your hand, you can't be on His side. And I was an enemy of God. And Mephibosheth was an enemy of David just simply because of the family he was born into. The Bible calls those that are lost in Ephesians 2:3 children of wrath. He calls them in Ephesians 2:2 children of disobedience. In Matthew 13:38 he calls them the children of the wicked. In 2 Peter 2:14 he calls them cursed children. In 1 John 3:10 he calls them children of the devil. Now I want you to know something, friend. If you ain't saved, you're an enemy of God. You're not a child of the King. You're not a child of God. You do not have the privileges of a king's son until you get in the family of the king. I was looking for the word. Did somebody already say privileges? She already said it. She helps me all the time. Amen. She's my helpmeet. I should have looked at her. Amen. So you see, Mephibosheth didn't have any right to go to the king. He didn't have any right at all to go to the king. Yes, sir. Well, I'm heading there. Amen. He was barred from David because of the family he was born in. And he was broken by a disaster through a fall. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4, After the enemy had conquered Israel and beat Israel in a battle, and Jonathan and Saul had died, the nurse of Mephibosheth picked Mephibosheth up and ran, and in a frantic run she dropped the boy, and when she dropped him, she caused him to be crippled in his feet. 2 Samuel 4:4 explains that. And this made this young man a helpless creature. Made him helpless. He was unable to perform natural duties. He didn't have any strength in himself. He was without strength. The Bible says that before we were saved, we were without strength. Listen, some of these poor sinners that are down here, they don't have enough strength. And they wonder, what can I do to get the strength? They don't have any. They got to get it from the one who's got the strength. But they've got to know that themselves. You can't pump it in their veins. They're enemies. They don't understand. I was raised up in a Baptist preacher's home and didn't get it until April 29th, 1979. I was 22 years old. Amen. I mean, I didn't get it. It was beyond me. It was distant from me. I couldn't get a handle on it. So not only was he helpless in this situation, but he was hurting. And it was because of a past fall. They didn't have medicine like we have today. They didn't have ways to create things to make this boy have an easier way to live like we do today. No doubt he was hurting. He was not just hurting physically. He was hurting because he could not perform naturally.
Right.
Not only was he helpless and hurting, but he was hiding.
Yeah, you're right.
Fearing lest he should be found by David and his armies and be slain like the others in his household. There was a natural fear in this boy. He couldn't do nothing about the way he felt. He couldn't do nothing about what had happened to him. It was out of his control. It was beyond his control. But he was hiding because of fear. Why do you think Adam was hiding? What the Adam? Oh, it's God. It's God.
Yeah, that's right.
He told us not to eat of that tree, and we did. We're in trouble. Yeah, woman. The devil made me do it. Put the blame off on everybody else. Boy, it was said today, God called them to clothe them.
Yes, that's right.
It says, and the Lord God clothed them.
That's right.
Even though they had wronged and disobeyed God. He had grace and mercy showed them, extended them love, and gave them what they never expected. Now Mephibosheth was afraid to face the king. He was hiding from the king. So that brings me to the fact that he was banished by distance in a far country. Not only was he barred from David because of the family he was born in, and broken by disaster through a fall, but he was banished by distance in a far country. His land was Lodibar. Lodibar means no pasture. It means perishing. That's what Lodibar means. He didn't really have a whole lot to live for there. Now his land was Lodibar, his life was afar off, and his loss was this. There was a time he was a king's son. Because Jonathan was next in line to be king. Which made him next in line to be king. Now here's a man who lost a throne because of sin in his daddy's household. It wasn't Mephibosheth's fault. But he wasn't going to be king because of sin. Sin took him to another land. Sin gave him a different life. And as a result of it, he had a loss. The land that was afar off is the land I found myself in as a lost sinner. Because it says, but now in Christ Jesus, the Bible does in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And that brings me to the fact that he was brought by desire into fellowship with the King.
Yeah.
And that's my message.
Yeah.
I finally got there. Amen. Now, how far was Lodibar from the King? Well, according to my Bible maps, it was close to 120 miles. It was a little over, a little less. 120 miles in those days was a long haul. 3 to 4 days' journey. Now, in order for Ziba to go on the King's commandment, he had to be willing to lay aside all of his personal duties.
Right.
He had to be willing to do what the King asked him to do.
Right.
Friend, there was a day, Brother Mike, when the King called me to do some business for him.
Right.
And I've been on a journey ever since. I'm riding one of the King's chariots. I'm going to find Mephibosheth. Listen, they didn't have I-90 and I-80 and I-94 and I-75 and I-23. And they didn't have interstates like we do today. They didn't have an easy way to get there and an easy way to get back. And Ziba had to be willing to inconvenience himself. I don't believe he minded doing it. I don't believe it bothered him to go and get Mephibosheth. I don't believe he lost sleep over it. I believe that Ziba said to the King, I'll go and I'll get him. He knew about Mephibosheth. He must have known about his condition. Because he told him he was lame on both his feet. It must have been common knowledge that this boy was at a loss. Friend, you and I who've been at the King's house know what it's like not to be in the King's house. You and I who've sat at the table of the King and been called by the King on special duty for the King, we know what it's like to be around the King.
Right.
We know what they're missing because they're not with the King.
Right. Yeah, right.
Amen. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I know it's Thursday night and you've been up all day and you got too much of a nap and now you're drowsy. Everybody said, you better preach hard and you better preach long and you better preach this and you better preach that to keep me awake. Well, I'm trying to. And I believe y'all are listening.
Right.
You're hearing what I got to say. Ziba had a special task.
Right.
So when God called me in evangelism,
right,
I said, Lord, surely there's other men that can do a better job than me. There's other men that could go and do better than I could. And the King said, I got a job for you, boy.
Right, yeah.
Give me the chariot.
Right. Yep.
Just let me have a chariot. I'll get in it and I'll go.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So here's old Ziba. He's on his way. Giddy up. Everybody sees him going by. They say, there goes one of the King's chariots. I wonder where he's going. Get. He had food on the way there. He was taken care of by the King. He didn't have anything to worry about. Friend, I don't worry for one day or the next where I'm going to get my meals. I don't worry for one day or the next who's going to take care of me. The King has given me all the provisions I need. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about it. That's why I can preach. I ain't got a friend. He's apprehending him, amen. He's going to go in there and get Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, the King wants to see you, boy. Come on, we're going to the chariot. He put him in the chariot, amen. He picked him up. You say, how do you know he picked him up? He was lame on both his feet. You're here with The king wants to see me?
Yeah.
Yeah. The King wants to see you, boy.
Yeah.
Doesn't he know who I am?
Yes, he knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Help me, help me, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows who you are.
Yeah, he knows who you are.
My grandpappy is Saul.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
What's the king want with me?
Uh-oh.
He really wants me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got good news. Listen, I got good news. I don't know. I ain't so sure.
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Yeah.
That unbelief. Can you see the unbelief in the picture?
Don't lie to me.
Yeah,
don't lie.
Listen, I can see a little bit of it even when he gets to the king's place.
Yeah.
But I can hear Ozai all the way. Get up, boys. Get up. How long is it gonna take before I get to the king? I'll let you know when I get you there. But I'm scared. I'm worried. He ain't got nothing to worry about, Mephibosheth. He wants to see you. Get up, boys. Oh, but Mephibosheth, he ain't so sure about this. Oh, listen. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get you there, but I'm going to ride all the way with you. I'll go all the way with you. Yes, amen. Oh, hit a ball, Paul. Oh, Mephibosheth, hold on. Oh, no. We're going to make it. Amen. Oh, but let me tell you about the king's house. Listen to me, Mephibosheth. Everything's all right in my father's house. In my father's house. Amen. Amen. Oh. Are we getting closer? Yeah, we're almost there now. Are you sure? I've never been here before. Ooh. 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 I've never been there.
Yeah, we have.
Let me tell you about it. Amen. Well, I got to thinking about. Man, if I had 3 days.
You can tell a lot.
You let me get my breath. My horse. That chariot's working me to death. We're going to go to Holiday Inn for a minute. Well, who's paying for this?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, come on.
We've been this way. Oh, Mephibosheth said, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
we do. We're telling you that everything's going to be all right when you get to the king. Yeah, the king's the one who sent us. Well, I got my rest now. Giddy up, let's go. It's another morning. It's another day. We're getting closer now. I saw the road signs. Amen. Yeah. This is it. I've been on this road before.
Yeah.
We're getting closer.
The king's highway.
I got some good news for some of you with Mephibosheth.
Yeah, you're on the king's King's Highway.
We're getting closer.
Well, come on, Brother Jim.
And I'm just riding.
Yes.
I can't save you, but I can get you to the King.
Yeah, we can get you there.
Right.
Yeah, stay
with us. Amen.
There you go.
But I can see him now. Rolling up onto the concrete of the palace. We're here. Mephibosheth?
We're here.
We gotta take you before the King now.
Get weak there, brother. Careful.
Here he is, King. It's been a long journey for Ziba. He's tired. But is it worth it?
Yeah.
I'm wearing you out, ain't I, Brother Mike? Brother Mike's going, and he ain't preaching.
Brother, we're there with you. Yeah.
I had a preacher one that had to tie his shoelaces about three times while I was preaching.
He
was preaching with me.
Come on,
God, I'm right there with you.
So he's been apprehended. He's been arrested. He's also been awakened. He's been awakened. I'm in the presence of the King. The King wants to see me. How close are we now? We're where the King is. We done left Lodibar 3 days ago. Whoa. Gotta remember Ziba went 6 days though.
That's right.
Now when Mephibosheth, verse 6, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face. Not only was he arrested and apprehended and awakened, but his attitude was just right when he got to the King. His attitude. He wasn't chewing gum. He wasn't cracking bubble gum. Hey, it wasn't no joking going on here. Oh, this was a deep thing going on. I'm in front of the King. And the King has the right to kill me. I'm an enemy of the King. The King has the right to take me anytime he wants to. I don't have nothing unless the King gives it to me. He couldn't run. Never thought about that. Help me, brother. He didn't have no feet to get away with. Amen. Oh. Whoa! Water's good when you're thirsty. Oh, everyone that's thirsty, come here to the water. Yeah, that's a good one. Where should I put that? Is that good? I don't even know where I am. Oh, I'm in the King's Palace. Amen. Come on. Yeah, I done got him in now. I carried him. I toted him in. Yeah, and his attitude, yeah. Thank you.
Come on,
brother. Come on. I'm another year older from last year, you know. Mephibosheth's in the presence of the King now. He's got an attitude that is one of fear. Trembling. He'd lived a long time in Lodibar. Wasn't no fun there. Now he's in worse shape. He's afraid he's going to die. And it says he fell on his face and did reverence. Man, in the model prayer, the Lord said for us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's holy.
Right.
We're hilly.
Yeah. Right.
And we need his holiness.
Right.
And we're in trouble with a holy God.
I'm talking about Mephibosheth now.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's on his mind.
Right.
And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold the servant. Yeah. Well, I remember the day when the king called my name.
Right.
And I got to thinking about this. Mephibosheth said, Behold thy servant.
Right.
How in the world is a mangled legged boy going to be a servant for the king? He can't do nothing for the king. He can't serve the king. But his attitude was one of service. He had the same attitude that the lost son had, not the prodigal son. That boy wasn't backslid, he was lost. You're welcome. If you preach he was backslid, you're wrong. He wasn't backslid, he was lost and dead. Amen. In his attitude, he said he came to the Father and he said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called thy servant or thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. His attitude was right. Whatever happened to godly fear and reverence? Whatever happened to it? I didn't say we couldn't have fun, but why my soul... Listen, there's a time to fear God. There's a time to respect God and have reverence to God. And He's King on the throne. You don't approach Him just any way. Well, He was brought to the King just like me. Old Dr. Percy Ray rode the chariot. I'm telling you, Tim, it's going to be all right, boy. Brother Shipman came by. It's going to be all right. They didn't know they was telling me that, but they was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what they said. Oh, Brother Mac Hodge, he rode me a little ways.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
For the servants, amen,
yeah, right,
that came by with a chariot from the king.
Right. That's right.
He said, the king wants to see you.
Right.
Me?
Yeah.
He wants me? Behold thy servant. I got thinking about that old thief one day. What could he ever do for God? He was dying on a cross. But he looked at the Son of God. He said, Remember me. First he said, We deserve what we're getting. He looked at that other thief and he said, We deserve justly for what we're getting. This man hath done nothing to miss. Ain't a thing wrong with this man. We're the ones that are wrong. He looked at Jesus and he didn't say man. He knew him more than a man. He was King of the Jews. He said, Lord, remember me. And what happened? He said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, what could he do? See, God didn't save us for what we can do. He saved us so He'd get glory out of it. Jesus died. And the old thief wasn't dead yet. And they came and they broke his legs. And his spirit left his body. And he walked into paradise and Jesus said, Good to see you. Ooh, he couldn't do a thing for Jesus. He couldn't do a thing. He couldn't do a thing. He could never be a servant. But his testimony before God, Lord, remember me. I know who you are. I respect you regardless of what everybody else is doing. I want you to save me. Well, he couldn't do a thing. He couldn't do a thing for the Lord, not a thing. You say, well, what did he ever do for the Lord? I'll tell you what he did. He got saved. And everybody now knows how merciful God is. His testimony is still being rung out. 2,000 years ago. And people still are hearing about him. He made history.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like y'all to be running around, but if you ain't doing it, that's all right. Well, it ain't all right, but I wish you was. But if you ain't going to do it, it's all right. I'm running around. I know y'all can't hear it back there, but Brother Mike said he's afraid he'd get run over by a chariot. But he says, David said unto him, fear not. Peace to you, boy. I wanted you here. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. It's not because of anything new, Art. It's because I love your daddy.
Right, yeah, right, yeah,
right.
It's not because of anything we've done. It's because the Father loved the Son that He showed us His kindness.
Right.
Said He'll restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And He bowed Himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Why do you want me? I ain't nobody. You'll never get anything from God if you're somebody.
Right.
If you got something to give Him, the one who owns it all, you done missed the boat.
Right. Right.
Right. Oh, listen, my job ain't to get you saved. My job is to get you to the King. But I'm here to tell you, friend, if the King has been calling for you and His men have come by with the chariots and they've drug you into their chariot, they're doing it because the King told them to.
Right. Right. That's right.
Get in the chariot! Come on over here! In the chariot over here!
Right. Right. Let's go.
Yeah. Right.
Come
Let's
on.
Go younger, Rick.
And that's what he did, ain't it?
Right.
Yeah. He had orders from headquarters to do that.
Right.
He didn't have to ask if he could. He didn't say, I'm a finished chef. Would you please come with me? He said, get over here, boy. The King wants to see you.
That's right.
I'm telling you, sinner, the King wants to do business with you.
That's right.
Amen.
You got the authority. You tell him.
Yeah.
You got it.
I can tell you.
That's right.
The word that was preached in the wilderness didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I believe what you're saying, Brother Tim. Well, I'm still going to tell you.
Right.
The King wants to see you!
Yes, He does. That's right.
You think I rode this chariot this hard? For nothing?
Right.
You think I've preached my guts out like this just so that I could be wore out and sweaty and stinky when I get done, have to go home and change my shirt? You think that's why I preach it? No, I got a chariot I'm riding, and I want you to get in it with me.
Right.
I want you to have the same thing I got from the King.
Right.
I want you to have the same thing. I want Him to say the same thing to you He said to me one day. Amen. I want you to hear the King say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I got good news for you. I'm going to restore everything that you lost as an enemy. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, according to Hebrews chapter 2, we lost everything in the fall. We lost it all. We lost our position with God. We lost our peace with God. We lost our place with God. We lost our position with God. We lost it all. But Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, now that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, Him bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. What that's saying is, we lost it all in the fall, but Jesus got it all back for us.
Yes, He did.
He got it all. He restored it to us.
Yes, sir.
But I ain't seen it yet. Blessed are they which have believed and haven't seen.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
I'm an heir of God. And I joined heir with Jesus Christ. Everything I lost in Adam, I got back in Christ.
Yes, I do. That's right. All's well. You got it all.
Everything.
Yeah, we loaded with benefits. That's what I said. Loaded and
that's,
down with
that's what I said.
Daily.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
I got it, brother.
Got it all, brother. Amen.
Right. Yes,
his attitude.
Right. Can't handle it all.
He said, why in the world have you got a dead old dog like me? But he's advanced in the kingdom. Regardless of whether he understands it or not. He knows that the king wanted to see him. And he knows what the king said to him. And I still swim around in it. See, he was not only apprehended and arrested and awakened, but he was advanced.
Yep, he was.
He said, I'm going to give you everything that you lost in your father.
That's right.
Everything that you lost in Saul, I'm restoring it back to you. You got it. Not only am I giving it back to you, I'm going to bless you while you got it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Look at it with me now. Look at it. This good stuff now. Verse 9. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul in this house. This is appropriation. Not only is he advanced, but what he's got has been put on his behalf. He's an inheritor.
Right.
Thou therefore and thy sons, verse 10, and thy servants shall kill the lamb for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread all at my table. Now I got to think about this one day, Brother Shipman. Man, this blessed my heart. If Mephibosheth sat at the king's table with the king's sons, then he was often reminded of where he was, where he'd been, and what was going on around him. I can see him sitting there at the table now. Can you imagine the first time he ever sat down there at that table? He saw the spread out there, man. And I can see him now sitting there, and he looks down there and he sees King David down there.
Yeah,
smiling at him.
Smiling at him.
Yeah, I can see my Philly chef now going. David passes on Mephibosheth a note every once in a while. Good to have you here, boy. There's the note. Look at here, boy. This is for you. Man, I'm getting good stuff out of here. I don't have this in my notes. I'm just thinking about it today. I was meditating on it, you know. Yeah. Could you imagine the king looking down at Mephibosheth one day and saying, would you open in prayer and bless this food? Sits at that table. He looks down here and sees the king. And he remembers where he was. And look where I am. Oh my. Look where I am. I know you've heard this before, but can you see that? Can I use one of these towels? I'll use it for a good thing. Can you see old Mephibosheth? He's sitting at the king's table. And that linen that's on the table, he pulls up there to that table. That linen drapes over them little crippled legs. He looks just like everybody else. And say, thanks for bringing me to the king's palace. Hey! He looks across the table, one of them king's sons. He says, hey, that's Ziba. You know Ziba, don't you? He's the one that came and got me one day. He's the one that got me to the king's house.
That's right, brother. Yes. Thank God for Zion.
Hallelujah.
His people working. You're right. Yes, thank you. His people.
But I can still see he's still sitting there like the same.
Pass the grace.
Pass the grace, please. Amen.
Mercy.
Yeah, give me another bowl of that mercy and love.
Yeah.
Tell me about heaven. Yeah, give me some of that peace pudding. These guys are helping me. They must sit at the same table I sit at. You know what? You know what I like about this? He says, he'll eat bread at my table continually in verse 7. Then it said in verse 10, Mephibosheth, my master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. In verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. Man, if the Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Which meant he had eternal dividends. He was forever welcome at the king's table. Man, he has been advanced. He lived in a place where there wasn't no pasture. Now he's got a spread like he's never had. Pasture's being taken care of. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
That's right. Yeah.
I've done my best to preach what God laid on my heart.